Let me echo all of the good mornings that you have already been receiving today. It is great to be able to see you here with us at East Brainerd as we look forward to Christmas Day as it quickly approaches. I know for many of you, this is not only the most wonderful time of the year, it is also the busiest time of the year. It seems that as we get closer to Christmas, there is always somewhere else that we have to be. In fact, I am sure that some of you, as soon as we finish here this morning, you have to be somewhere else. And you are looking forward to wherever else it is that you have to go. At least I hope you're looking forward to that. I know that for some of you, this is the opportunity perhaps where you can take that deep breath and relax and breathe in. Some of you moms and dads began to experience a peace that passes all understanding as soon as you walked in this morning and asked the question to Miss Brittany, are we having kids praise and we worship today? And she said yes. And then you just came in and were like, whoo, all right, let's praise the Lord. This will be good. Your kids are back in our children's center right now, and Miss Brittany is with them along with some of her helper elves today, and they're having a wonderful worship time, and I appreciate you helping get those kiddos back there, and I can't wait for you to hear what they are going to be sharing with you when they hop into the car. And they look great this morning, by the way. You saw the kids. We always like to do Pajama Sunday for the kids. We always have to remind it's for the kids, even though some of you come very relaxed, right? For the adults, it is the ugly sweater day, and many of you have been wearing yours all month, and I appreciate your enthusiasm, but today, so many more of you have put yours on, except I have to say, there are some of you who have outdone others, right? I mean, JD's lights up, and so if you haven't seen JD down here in the front, his does. His lights up, and that's pretty cool. I see another one that's lighting up back there. And some of you just wore a Tennessee cover, and that is ugly as well. And you really did a good job today wearing that. I see you, Davey. But I think the winners today, if you haven't seen the Carter family back here over in the corner, it's not just the reindeer antlers that Cindy is wearing, but I want you to make sure that you get a good look at the sweaters that they have on, if you haven't seen them already, because they heard ugly sweater and they decided, you know what, where else can we go to get an ugly sweater except to our preacher's Facebook page and pull off some photos and then have them blown up and let that be the face of our sweater. And so, yes, when you see the Carters as they are heading out, be sure to see that it says Merry Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Mus. And notice the nice elf picture that is there. You guys win. I don't know what you get for it, but I know what I'll be praying for later on today. That is awesome. That is really, really cool. Hey, we always have fun around Christmas time, and it is a wonderful time to be together. No matter what you have coming next, I do pray that you can be present now. And yes, take a deep spiritual breath as together we celebrate the fact that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, filled with grace and truth. Will you join me as we sing together? Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin Mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heaven. home among us. That's how John begins his description of nativity. In the Bible, you have four different accounts of the life of Jesus. Four perspectives that give four different pictures. Matthew and Luke give us details of what has become known as the Christmas story. Mark doesn't even bother to give us a backstory about Jesus. He just gets right into the action. And then there's John. While the other three writers share many of the same details and stories, John oftentimes goes off on his own way. And it's why when you come to John's gospel, he begins the Jesus story, and he begins to share the what, not the how. You see, if you want the micro of the coming of the Savior, go to Matthew and Luke. But if you want the macro, if you want the big picture of what was actually taking place that night in Bethlehem, if you want to know about who was crying out from the manger, then you go to John. And if you just have ADHD and want action and adventure, just stay in Mark because he's your guy. But John says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. That is the good news. And it's good because so many of us have just lost ourselves in the darkness. We thought we could control it, at least to a certain extent, in certain areas of our lives. But like that dimmer switch that is there in your family room, well, things just seem to get turned down. And things have gotten darker. And you've discovered that the darkness will often carry you further than you ever intended to go. Rebecca Solnit is the author of A Field Guide to Getting Lost. It's a pretty good title. She writes about her friend Sally, who works with search and rescue teams in the Colorado Rockies. And Sally describes a time when an 11-year-old boy became lost in the mountains. He was deaf, and he was losing eyesight, and he was part of a group of children that were camping together. Their counselors had the bright idea to have them all participate in a game of hide and seek. And apparently this boy hid too well. Darkness fell and no one could find him, and he could not find his way back. Once he realized he was lost, he sought shelter and he began to blow on his whistle. But there was a waterfall that he could not hear. And the waterfall was, well, it was too loud. And so no one could hear the whistle. But he stayed in that place, and he kept blowing. The next morning, Sally and her crew actually found him. And Sally told Solnit, "Children are really good at getting lost." She said, though, because the key in survival is knowing you're lost, they usually don't stray too far, and they curl up in a sheltered place at night, knowing that they need help. Adults, on the other hand, well, we're not as quickly to acknowledge that we ever get lost, and that we ever need any type of help. Instead, we just say, we'll find our own way out of the woods. Or I'll find my own way out of the problems in this marriage or out of this debt. I'll find my own way through this anxiety. I will go in another direction when it comes to my kids, when it comes to my job, when it comes to my addiction, when it comes to my spiritual life. And I just wonder, how many of us are more lost in the dark woods of life today than we were last month or last year? Thankfully, there are moments when we finally do realize one fundamental reality. Everybody, at some time in life, often more than once, everybody needs help. We recognize that we can't do what's being asked of us. We cannot untangle the knot that's restraining us. We can't overcome all of the obstacles that we're facing. And it's in those moments when we curl up and when we start blowing on our rescue whistle, it's that time that the gospel of Christmas becomes clear. You see, Christmas declares that we worship a Savior who knows exactly what helplessness is like. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a feeding trough. Jesus entered the world as one so helpless that he had to be swaddled. Now, for years, the natives of Bible lands have cared for infant children in much the same way as was done when Jesus was born. Instead of allowing a young baby the free use of its limbs, well, it's bound hand and foot by swaddling bands, and it makes the child a helpless bundle. At birth, the child is washed and rubbed with salt, and then with its legs together and its arms at its side, it is wound tightly with linen or cotton bandages, 4 to 5 inches wide and 5 to 6 yards long. Nothing could signal more clearly the helpless state of a newborn human than being wrapped tightly in such a way. Now, we don't do necessarily the same thing to our children, but you've seen when those babies are born and they get all wrapped up in that blanket that has the pink and blue lines on it. I don't know how that became the baby blanket, but they get all wrapped up there and then they're handed off to mom and then passed around to everybody else that has come to visit. And you don't remember that happening to you, but you were so helpless as you were just passed from one family member to another as pictures were being taken and you could do nothing when it came to Aunt Ethel. And there she was holding you with her garlic breath and that perfume that smelled of years of Christmases gone by. You could do nothing because you were helpless. The Word that provided life couldn't provide a thing for himself that day. He was wholly dependent upon others. And when we come to times like today, I think we have to wonder why God would go to such extremes. And I just think it's a natural question. And I also think the chief reason is that God needs for you to know that He understands this world that He created. And He understands His creation. And I think maybe you need to hear this morning that He understands you. The Word became human, became flesh. He knows what you feel like when you feel helpless in a world filled with helpless people. Need hope-filled good news. See, our message to the world is not that we have a Savior so powerful that He never knows powerlessness. No, our message is that when you find yourself facing foes so large that you do not know what to do, that Jesus knows what to do. And that Jesus knows how you feel in those moments. When you can't seem to even lift one finger to fend for yourself, He knows how you feel. The Hebrews writer tells us that He's not out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experiencing it all, everything but without sin. So walk right up to Him. Walk right up to Him and get what He is so ready to give. Take the mercy and accept it. Accept the help. If only it were that simple, right? If only it were that simple, because before I can accept help, I have to be willing to ask for help. And sometimes that seems even more impossible than a virgin birth. Because after all, where do you start? Well, I just want to put forward this morning that perhaps Perhaps you need to start right here. See, when the Word became human, He put down roots. John says that Jesus camped with us. That was His original wording. He set up His tent. Now, that would have caught the attention of John's Jewish readers, because centuries before, God had camped with Israel. He tabernacled with them. You see, as the Jews wandered around after leaving Egypt, they carried with them something that they referred to as the tent of meeting. And it was within this portable sanctuary that the presence of God would reside in their midst. And now John is telling his readers that the human-wrapped Word has moved into the neighborhood, that God is again living among His people. And the Nativity challenges the church to be the community where Jesus still lives, where Jesus still camps, where Jesus has still put down roots, and where it's okay to say, I need some help. I need some swaddling, because I don't have it all together. I don't have it all together in my marriage. I don't have it all together when it comes to my kids. I don't have it all together with my grades. I don't have it all together at my job. I don't have it all together in my mind. I don't have it all together in my soul. The church becomes good news when it is transformed from just another place for those who have it all together to the one place where people who are falling apart can meet Jesus. Rachel Held Evans wrote this in her book, Searching for Sunday. She said, I get a lot of emails from people who fit right into the church until the divorce, until the diagnosis, until the miscarriage, until the depression. And what they find, she says, is when they bring their pain or their doubt or their uncomfortable truth to church, someone immediately grabs it out of their hands and tries to fix it and tries to make it go away. Convinced gospel is a product we've got to sell to an increasingly shrinking market. She says, we like our people to function as walking advertisements, happy, put together, finished proof that this Jesus stuff actually works. Christians like to say, the world is watching, so let's be on our best behavior and quickly hide the mess. Let's throw up some before and after shots and roll that flashy footage of our miracle product, blanching out every sign of dirt, hiding every sign of disease. But she says, if the world is watching, we might as well tell the truth. And the truth is, the church doesn't offer a cure. It doesn't offer a quick fix. The church offers the messy, inconvenient, gut-wrenching, nerve-ending work of healing and reconciliation. She says, the church offers grace. And anything else we try to peddle is snake oil. An alcoholic friend of author Philip Yancey once said to him, when I'm late to church, people turn around and stare at me with frowns of disapproval. I get the clear message that I'm not as responsible as they are. When I'm late to AA, the meeting comes to a halt, and everyone jumps up to hug and welcome me. They realize that my lateness may be a sign that I almost didn't make it. And when I show up, it proves that my desperate need for them won out over my desperate need for alcohol. The Word became human and made His home among us. Friends, Jesus embraced helplessness with the expectation that the church would embrace the helpless. You see, this is not a place for people who are perfectly put together. It's actually for people who are falling apart. It's for the helpless. It's for the people who acknowledge their sin, who acknowledge their weakness, their anxiety, It's the one community where people can show up and say, you know what, I'm not fine. And I can't seem to do anything about it. And instead of shushing them or trying to fix them as fast as possible, the church, well, the church is to swaddle them and wrap them with love and compassion and hold them until the fear and the crisis pass, if it ever does. And I would hope the church would jump up to hug and welcome the person who is early or the person who is late. You know, I told you a few weeks ago, the holiday messages are the hardest for a minister to prepare. Familiarity breeds contempt and boredom. In an age of TikToks and sound bites, it's hard to hold the interest of an audience. And now you add to the fact this season that everyone knows the story of Bethlehem, and people all know about the shepherds, and they know about the wise men and the angels, Mary and Joseph and the manger. And by the way, our kids did an awesome job telling that story last week. Everyone even knows about the inhospitable innkeeper that isn't even mentioned in the Bible. So how do you break through the monotony in hopes of having a familiar story hit differently? Well, in literary works, authors will use an ostronony. It's an artistic technique of presenting common things in an unfamiliar or strange way in order to enhance the perception to create a new understanding. See, the goal is to make the audience see the subject differently, disrupting the normal ways that you think about whatever it is that you're focused on. And I've tried to accomplish that this Christmas season by looking at the nativity of Jesus through the lens of four different writers. Mark didn't mention the nativity at all. Talk about strange and different. Matthew talked about all the wrong types of people. That certainly ruffled a few feathers. Luke focused on the improbable presentation of the Savior in a Bethlehem feeding trough. That wasn't how people expected the Savior to arrive. And John? Well, John just got all existential and talks about word and light becoming flesh and blood. That's a weird way to tell the story. But along the way, as we have been thinking about this, the light, the lights, Bethlehem, angels, wise men, Mary, Joseph, the baby. Along the way, perhaps this well-known story has touched you in a new and meaningful way. Or maybe for all of my attempts at being creative and trying to present this story in a different fashion each and every week, maybe all you really needed to hear this Christmas was the most familiar verse in all of Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Can we read that out loud together? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Friends, we all know what it's like to be lost in the dark. As children, we shelter in place and we call out for help. As adults, we just determine that we're going to figure it out on our own. I just hope that this Christmas, that maybe even today, is the moment where you finally come to terms with your own limitations and with your own helplessness. That you finally realize the fundamental reality. You need help. You recognize that you can't save yourself. You recognize that you can't do what's being asked of you. You can't untangle the knots. You can't put all of the toothpaste back into the tube. You can't uncover or overcome the obstacles. You can't even see where you're going right now. It's gotten too dark. And it's time. It's time to blow your rescue whistle. It's time to say, I need help. It's time to call out to the one that cried out from Bethlehem, the light of the world, the word that became flesh and still lives among us. Jesus, God's gift to you. It's time for today. It's time for this Christmas to be the season of your rescue. So here's how we're going to end our time together this morning. Like we read together the most familiar verse in all of Scripture, I would like us to sing together a version of the most familiar hymn in all the world. And as we begin to sing the song, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, if you are someone who knows what it is to feel helpless, and it doesn't have to be something that you are in right now, but if you do realize that that is where you are right now, as we sing that song, I would just like for you to stand where you are. So that others can come and swaddle you. Just put an arm around you. Take your hand. Just stand beside you. You don't necessarily have to go into all your story and everything that's going on, but maybe you just need to say this morning, I need help. Maybe that's why you have come here today. And when we get to the chorus and we begin to sing, my chains are gone and I have been set free. If you're not necessarily one of the ones who standing because of helplessness that you feel now or have felt in the past, but you know what it means to be set free, then by all means, would then you please stand and offer up your praise to God. And if while we are encouraging one another and praising our Savior, if you do need just to have some private time, just to be able to share perhaps your story and ask how that fits in with the story of the good news of Jesus, one of our elders, one of the spiritual leaders here within our congregation is going to be in our prayer room that's located in our lobby. And you're welcome to step out there while we are singing and go for a time of just personal conversation, reflection, and prayer. Friends, it's the most beautiful story that has ever been told about a God that loved the world so much that he would not let darkness overcome his creation. And so he sent light so that whoever believes in that light would not perish but have life and light everlasting. In the midst of this dark world, though, it is so easy to become lost. It is so easy to try to go our own way. Please, this morning, if you would, blow your whistle. And cry out to the one who cried in Bethlehem.